So this was originally just going to be an excerpt that I was going to tack on to the end of another show. Friend of Through the Wind Door and future contributor Nama Chaibiti proposed a potential future show of Beyond the Wind Door, wherein he and Toby would make me watch 5 Pokemon movies, and we would talk about them. I thought this might be a good pick, since it was once more making me watch something I haven't seen. But after trying 2 movies and a side project called Pokemon Concierge, I came to the conclusion that this was not only not my bag, but I really wouldn't have that much to say about them. At least, not from a particularly positive light, or a topic to discuss that was very meaty. And then in the run-up to discussing the Princess Thieves, I discovered later that we had talked for a full 20 minutes on my experience with the movies that Nama had suggested. Granted, a bunch of that was Toby, but this felt a little too long for an outtake. So, because it's going to take me a bit to either edit the next stop-motion episode or our first foray back into Princess Thieves, here's a little something to decide you over if you have any interest in Pokemon.
I don't know if you've seen my updated take on having finished Pokemon 3.
But I did wrote read that.
You did read that. Okay, so yeah. I hadn't seen a response to that yet, but I also figured you were deep in the weeds preparing for this conversation. So
I was, and yet Discord helps me distract myself occasionally. Mm-hmm. So that was a good... that was a good thing. Anyway, did you have anything more you wanted to talk about, or just
more that I wanted to talk about? That no, I think I outlined my primary thoughts. Honestly, unless there's something else out there that is going to shift my thinking on it, I think that our private conversation, you and I and Nama, with contributors here and there, I think that unless you have a deeper idea for it, I think that's probably going to be the extent of our conversation on Pokemon, because I get that you have a lot to say about it, given all of the stuff that you did.
I went into Uber note-taking mode. It mm-hmm. happened where I literally take an hour to get to the opening credits of a film. That happens. That's what me in the middle of, or in the first third of my thesis was just watching movies and taking an entire day to get through them because I was trying to get as many notes as possible about it. And I'm not someone who can watch and take notes. I have to pause that and write out a thought in its entirety. Like, I don't do well with shorthand. I have to articulate a thought fully or not at all.
I can dig that. I can see why this might have been heavily influential to people younger than me, and this was like some of their first media and everything like that. But as far as an in-depth conversation as regards Pokemon and that as a media, I don't have a history with it that makes it beloved to me in the way that something more foundational to me like Transformers would be. Like, I look at Transformers and I know that that was a kid's cartoon with about the same ambition as something like Pokemon. And yet, because it was foundational to me, I have more of an emotional investment in that than I do with anything regarding Pokemon. And there are so many bits of Pokemon that just sort of get under my skin and get in the way of me enjoying it.
I think that's entirely fair. And I enjoyed reading what you had to say about that on the subthread for that, which... I don't think there's more to say, and I don't think that, like, what we would have to say would necessarily go further than those who have already checked out and participated in the subthreads. So I think that goes as far as, you know, the process that would go into making a show like that would kind of already cover everything we would want to say about it, because I do think that as a franchise, Pokemon is a very sort of self-evident experience where your reasons for clicking with it or not clicking with it are kind of self-evident. It's a thing of, this doesn't really work for me because of these very obvious, undeniable factors, or this works for me for these very visceral, superficial qualities and a few things that kind of surprise you by having a little bit more depth, but at the end of the day, I'm a Pokemon fan, and this does some fun stuff with it. as ever, it's much more complicated than that. The experience of liking with a thing and it becoming something that clings to the heart of you for an entire lifetime doesn't happen because of some bright colors and cute monster designs. There's something more to it. But I think that as far as you or I could take it, where we've taken it already has been a neat experiment and has kind of prompted some interesting conversations. I'm glad that at least you got to see a cool stop motion thing, which is always the long con of everything I do with you.
that was honestly, that was a good call to tell me that that existed. Because as I said, that was the thing that I connected the most with. In part because I choose you.
For the record, because I expect this might be a little excerpt, which, you know, in a sense, this is a sort of Pokemon show. Nama, I'm sorry we don't have you on here. This is Pokemon Concierge.
Concierge. Sorry.
That thing, the hotel one.
Yeah, the hotel one. I Choose You, the movie, set me up to consider the Pokemon as individuals in and of themselves. When you talk about some of the other ones, and specific when I experienced Spell of the Unknown, even though the Pokemon were very much supposed to be like
individuals
with an internal life of their own, and they are characterized on screen, doesn't spend a lot of time on that concept. Whereas Concierge and I Choose You put a lot more into that in terms of Pikachu's arc and what's the fire-breathing one?
Charizard, like Charmander and Charmeleon.
Charmander, yeah, exactly. The Char evolutions, yes. That particular evolution of character and character arc and how the Pokemon develop emotional connections with our main characters, that was a huge component of I Choose You, which is what primed me for the depth and the subtlety and the subtext of what was going on with Haru and everybody else's experiences with the Pokemon at the resort.
That's really fulfilling to hear that that's what you resonated with, because I think that is at the heart of it, which makes films like the Spell of the Unknown or any of the like anime tie-in movies a hard sell, because they're not really built to stand up on their own most of the time. They are little celebratory addendums to the show itself, because you watch Spell of the Unknown and the opening credits, which is a joyous, grounded Pokemon battle where Ash's current Pokemon team at the time within the show gets a chance to show up. They do a little thing and everyone goes like, oh, yay, I was glad to see this character. Like, you don't get the time to give us a reminder of, oh, Chikorita, the little one with the sort of little leaf hair, is a Pokemon that didn't like Ash at first and was kind of snooty and not really interested in him. And then after Ash proved himself, Chikorita then became really attached to Ash. And that's why as soon as Chikorita comes out of the Pokeball, instead of getting into the battle, she takes a moment to go up and cuddle next to Ash. And it's like, oh, that's such a thing for Chikorita to do. But I only know that because I know about the show. It's not signposting that to you, the uninitiated. It's just a, aren't you glad to see these characters again? And for you, it's, what do you mean again? Whereas things like Concierge and I Choose You are built much more as things that stand up on themselves. You know, I Choose You is a sort of celebratory anniversary movie that takes a bunch of things from the first arc, let's say, of the show, which covers the first generation of games, takes some of the key emotional moments and puts them into a film and gives a highlight reel while introducing some new stuff that frankly just doesn't fit into the chronology of like Ash going forward. But just as a self-contained thing, it's good. It's fun. It's absolutely a good thing to experience instead of 80 episodes of anime television just to get to some of those highlights that we experience. Yeah. And Concierge is an adorable, chill, stop motion thing about someone having to take a break away from things for their own mental health and seeing how they can help others and kind of getting a bit distraught and fretting over, wait, how do I actually help other people? And figuring that out by getting to know them, which is a nice part of the world that you don't get to see much time with them because so much of it is battles. And it's nice to actually see some of the more caretaker aspects of the world looked into, which a lot of fans enjoy. Because the games are structured in a particular way, a lot of the franchise is structured in a particular way, which makes those moments where we take an alternative approach that much more precious.
Yeah, that's one of the critical components of Pokemon, is that it's transmedia. There are many ways you can potentially get invested in Pokemon, and if you do one, then you're likely to do another, i.e., if you're a fan of the games, you will go to watch the anime or read the manga or watch the movies, and vice versa. If your first introduction to Pokemon is the media and you connect with it on any level, then you're more likely to play the games. I never did either, and everything that I came into was completely as an outsider. So as I told Nama, I choose you. Some definite emotionality that drew me in, even if aspects of the lore and the story and aspects of the characters were something that I bumped on. But I also think that I was more primed to enjoy parts of Concierge, specifically because I was set up by Detective Pikachu.
Yep.
And one of the more intriguing, compelling aspects of Detective Pikachu was our favorite anxiety ball, Psyduck.
Yes.
So to have him come back and have him be a character throughout three of the episodes was like, oh, okay, I remember this guy. Okay, it'll be fascinating to see how Haru interacts with him and then how he contributes as a member of the team, especially when there's this whole thing going on where she's not a trainer, so she's not giving Pokemon commands to do battles, but she is trying to communicate with Pokemon in order to help them out with whatever's going on with them.
I think that's some of the funnest parts of Pokemon as a sort of world-building exercise, because the parts of this world that people who are invested in it will become most familiar with is the generations of Pokemon, the hundreds of members of this rolling cast of video game characters. And so you familiarize yourself with that, you get invested in them on their own rights as, you know, creature designs that have a bit of personality, as gameplay mechanics, all of that. And then the cool part, if you decide to engage with any of this other media or even in the games themselves, is you can make a party of any of these hundreds of monster characters. And then the human characters you interact with, it says something about them, about which Pokemon they kind of partner up with. Mm-hmm. Like for you, it's free choice, freedom of expression. And for the game's characters, it's like, okay, I'm about to fight the champion of this region. Out of all the Pokemon, what is their signature Pokemon? And then when you see that, it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. That speaks to this. And in the show, it's like, oh, this person clicks with a Psyduck. I wonder why that is. And different characters might have different reasons for that. That's probably a potential they don't expand on too much, but that's the side of things I do enjoy, because that's a fun exercise of, imagine if you were seeing a television series about people playing Street Fighter, and the focus of it wasn't necessarily like the game of Street Fighter and telling a story about Ryu and Chun-Li and Guile, but about different people playing championships or just locals or whatever, and the characters they gravitate to being a comment on their personality, their characteristic, and using that to inform on them. That's just like a side of the meta of it, which has potential, and I like it when in those few moments, as exactly what you're saying with Psyduck, that feels like it's coming into its own.
I'm going to share a little bit of a secret with you here.
What is the secret?
Do you know why my favorite Pokemon is Wooloo?
I do not, because he's a fluffy ball of adorable cotton cuteness.
See, now that's definitely part of it. I think my first introduction to him was as a meme when the game that introduced him first came out.
That would be Pokemon Sword and Shield, which was a while ago now.
And yeah. I saw some promotional stuff with him. It was actually my first time seeing Wooloo was on Checkpoint.
For those that are not aware, and if you're not, then I'm sad for you, Checkpoint is the gaming news YouTube show that adds a level of wholesome and anti-capitalist comedy to the proceedings by the sketch comedy troupe Loading Ready Run. Here is the excerpt from episode 348, the one that introduced me to Wooloo.
A ton of Pokemon news has come out recently, but I don't think anyone would blame you if the only thing you'd taken away from this particularly breathless cycle is that a lot of people are thirsty for this nice round boy. We saw the first new Pokemon from Sword and Shield, but the only one people give a shit about is Wooloo, who's a good soft orb that millions of people will now die for.
So Wooloo is the orb that I ponder. But I've also now seen some of the shorts that were done with Wooloo and, yes, and his trainer. That was, like, I think some of the first Pokemon stuff that I'd ever seen in its entirety, with the exception of Detective Pikachu. Mm. And Wooloo as a character is just has this vibe, which is very earnest and very wholesome. And even though I know that, you know, there are male and female Pokemon, the default Wooloo is characterized as male. And yet they have these lovely braids right down the front. So there's this intriguing sort of non-binary vibe to them.
Yeah.
And Wooloo just comes across as very, I used the word earnest before, but, like, even though they are soft and friendly, and you get that they have, like, I don't know, almost a golden retriever energy in terms of, I just want to be around you.
And this is a game that has a golden retriever Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, you can get how Wooloo would bond with somebody, and if someone threatens their person, Wooloo would be like, oh, no, you didn't. I'm going to defend my person. I'm going to roll the fuck into you and bounce you the fuck away.
It's any Pokemon that feels like you can just, like, picture them in an environment and know how they would move around it. One of the things people enjoy the most is when they have games that Pokemon can follow you around outside of their Pokeball. Mm-hmm. And in the game on Switch, Let's Go Pikachu / yes, Let's Go Eevee, well, that's one where it's like, we are only doing the first generation of Pokemon, which means we have a much more manageable cachet of animation possibilities to work with. Let's do a thing where you can have any Pokemon out and they all move in a unique way. Jigglypuff is just kind of lightly floating in the air. Chansey is just sort of waddling along with happiness. Certain Pokemon, instead of them walking behind you, you're riding on top of them, such as I think Persian, which is the evolution of Meowth, which is this sort of, like, Jaguar type cat thing. Onix, you are just riding on top of
Onix now. Yeah.
You know, for us saying we're not going to do a Pokemon show, we're really making a Pokemon show right now. So
I mean, this is more of a Pokemon outtake, which I will happily share with the class.
It's a series that sparks joy, I think, in a lot of ways. That's not to say that it's like the people running it make universally good decisions. Of course they don't, but as you say, like, odds are there is some corner of the various transmedia real estate that this vast, vast, vast thing covers that you could check out and it would be like, this, I love this. Stuff they do on YouTube, the shorts, is actually a really good format for that, because they get a chance to tell stories about individual Pokemon that are just kind of cute or sweet animations. There's one with Bidoof, which I'm like, have you heard of Bidoof?
No.
Okay, so Bidoof is like one that got introduced in the fourth generation of Pokemon, around the time when people were starting to grow, like, a little bit more critical of it, and, like, Pokemon fans were growing up and being like, what's with this new generation? What's this fucking loser Pokemon, Bidoof? No one uses Bidoof. The only reason you use Bidoof is that you teach them the moves that you had to teach one Pokemon in order to move around, and then you dump them in the box forever and you forget about them. And then someone made a short, which is all about a plucky little Bidoof that goes all the way. And my God, do I want to do a run of that game with the Bidoof? Like, not even him evolving into his evolution, which is also not a particularly great Pokemon. I just want to take this derpy little beaver dude and take him all the way to the grand finals. Like, that's just kind of what this short does. That's why people get invested, is that there's just, you can't help but connect with it, you know, mm-hmm. as this is the personality archetype of this particular Pokemon, but also this specific version of this specific species of Pokemon. This, there are many like it, but this is mine. That is the like take-home message, is you will do that Rosa Diaz meme of,
I've only had Arlo for a day and a half, but if anything happened to him, I would kill everyone in this room and then myself.
Yeah, that's probably all I have to say about it. I have enjoyed the experience of revisiting these and also checking out some I hadn't. Like, I hadn't seen I Choose You before, and I found it really cool to check out and had a lot more going than I like expected for a film of its type. And I expect I will check out at least a few more before I'm done. So that's my take.
And that's it for now. Even though I doubt I will try to watch that much more Pokemon media, it does occur to me that there might be room in the future to look at the one movie that I mentioned, which did affect me more than I expected. So to close us out, the heartrending music that played over the credits to Detective Pikachu. Until next time, this is Kaigo and Rita Ora, who will carry on to you.
Walking alone on the shores of longing, I miss your footprints next to mine. Sure as the waves and the sands are washing, your rhythm keeps my heart in time. You found me, made me into something new. Led me through the deepest water. I promise loud to carry on for you. I wonder if you hear me too. Wrapped in my arms with every moment, the memories that pull me through.